Welcome back to the Pitch Podcast. It's disappointing to say the least. The A-League women's side have completed their season and it was, it's sad where we finished. There's some what they call green shoots where we look forward to the future with some really good impact from young players, and Adrian Stenter's team have a point to prove going into the A-League women next year. And for our A-League men, it's still a mathematical chance to make the finals. It's going to be a challenge, though, with us handing some points to Western United after doing the same to MacArthur over the past couple of games. And our captain, Ryan Kiddo, has been good enough to speak on the podcast. Ryan, thank you. Now, as a supporter, it's hard for me. It's frustrating for me. What's it like as a player and, most importantly, a captain?
Yeah, those exact words. Like you said, it is still a mathematical possibility, and until it's over, it's not over for us, and we'll keep fighting. And, these last two games, we want to finish the season on a positive note, and then hopefully results go our way and we might get another chance. But obviously, yeah, especially the last fortnight, it's been extremely disappointing and hard to take. But for our young group, I guess we just have to continue to learn and grow and make sure that in the future these situations don't happen.
Do you think there's an element of growth in a mature sense that we need as a team? I mean, for me, what I've observed over the past couple of weeks, we've been really hurt on the counter. In the MacArthur game, it felt that way. We had the momentum and then almost perhaps a lapse in concentration or a skill error. We paid the maximum price with goals being scored. And that's exactly what happened the other night against Western United, where whether it's a player not tracking back the right way or having a lapse of concentration, whether it's fatigue or not, it's those kind of mistakes which really have hurt.
Yeah, definitely. I think it comes down to game management, and obviously as one of the senior players in the team, I take responsibility first and foremost, but it's important that we all as a group learn from situations and particular moments in games. We recognise what we require, and it's all good. We might want to go on and score another goal, but sometimes the most important thing to do is to defend and to get that result, and that's just as rewarding. And I hope moving forward the group wants to achieve this and feels the importance of this, and I suppose it's important that we all just play our roles and grind out those results, because as we see, they can be the difference between making the finals and not.
So what happens then in a game like the one against Western United? We have an error from James when he has the ball and they score. Then they score again, and then Hiroshi gets a brace, Nesta scores, and then we know what happens at the end of that. Is there a point where it's communicated to the team, once we're up 3-2, let's try and hold on to the game here? Or is it always a mentality of going, we just need to keep playing the way that we are playing, and if that's attacking, that could turn into 4-2 as opposed to conceding?
Yeah, I think it's just making sure we're all on the same page, and it just comes down to the mentality and what's required. And I think in both games we've gone on and pushed on, which is fine, but then we also need to recognise that we need to have that same intensity and effort going back the other way, because we're already winning in the game, and if we've managed to hold on to those results, then we get the 3 points in both situations. So, yeah, I just think it comes down to game management, and just maybe we're not clear enough on the field and we're not communicating well enough under fatigue to just make sure that everyone's on the same page and everyone's working towards the same goal.
I've noticed a couple of times we've had wins that were taken away from us and resulted in draws. They're not losses, but by the body language of the players at the final whistle, they feel like losses. Having a look at some of the body language on television throughout the week, I've seen some games here at Cooper Stadium, and I think I've spoken to you after a draw where it's really gut-wrenching. Is that the feeling? As much as we know that finals are a mathematical chance, it's the 3 points that slip away and become one that almost probably hurts worse than a loss.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose the situations you're talking about are we're in winning positions and we tend to throw away the points, and that hurts as a player. You've put your body all week at through pain, and then for the 90 minutes and to not get the reward and get the goal and the desire of what you want as a team to get the 3 points, and the reward is just, it's a little bit deflating. And yeah, when you're in those winnable positions, it just seems like we haven't learned and progressed as a team over the course of the season and just haven't been able to manage those situations better to get the points. And at the end of the day, that's probably why we are where we are.
I have one more that I want to ask you about the results, and then I want to move on to some other things. In the press conference at the end of the game, I'm quite sure the direct quote from Carl was that we have a soft underbelly as a team. And I know that the press conference is a highly emotional thing, but as a player, does that then motivate you for the next couple of games to almost prove him wrong and to prove the perception externally of what our team is like defensively? Because we've scored the most goals in the competition. We've conceded a fair few, but still, to have your coach say that publicly, that's a message to the players as it is an acknowledgement to the fans. As captain, how do you then respond to that, and how does that motivate you to close out the season with a better performance that doesn't display that?
Yeah, obviously, yeah. The words hurt, obviously, especially when, like I said, I take responsibility first and foremost, and I'm put in charge to lead this group. And when you're said to have a soft underbelly, it's you know, it hurts. So, of course, you want to respond. And, yeah, I just think maybe the problem all year, we've individually focused on what we want to achieve rather than as a team or collectively what we can achieve. And, you know, I've always tried to push, and I'll continue to push as long as I'm playing here, is when the team does well, individuals do well. And I think we've just slipped away a little bit from that this year. I think players have looked after themselves. And, you know, that's important now. Me learning as a leader, that I learn from this experience and pull everyone back in, and we get back to playing for each other and playing for one another and playing for the club, because a lot of people love this club, especially the players, and we've all grown up supporting it. A lot of us are Adelaide boys, and we don't want to be where we are, and we just need to continue to grow and learn and try to make the most of the rest of this season, but then learn moving forward as well.
That's a really big thing and an honest thing for you to say, and I really respect you for saying that, because I think sometimes at stages towards the end of the games, I feel some of our younger players especially, the mentality is I can win this game for the team. And I think there is such a hard balance to make sure that you are appeasing the experienced players, you are taking care of the players that are out of contract, that potentially want to show they've got what it takes to get a new contract, whether it's here or another club. And then, as you can see, your responsibility is to make sure you support the players. We saw Nesta was visibly distressed after he missed the penalty the other night, and then at the end of the game, we saw Musa was visibly distressed at the end of the game against Western United. How have you found that this year? Because it's been a really unusual year for the club, with player movement, with the attention on young players like Nestori, but then results as well. And you're the captain, so you've got to manage a fair bit. How have you handled it?
Yeah, it certainly has been a challenging year for me personally. I've certainly enjoyed the challenge, and I think when you're put in uncomfortable positions, you get to grow as a person. So I'll always be grateful for that. And, yeah, I think, you know, a lot's been highlighted on individuals this year, which disappoints me, because I think it should be collectively. You know, if someone misses a penalty, you know, it's about everything that's happened in the game. It's not that one particular moment, or, you know, so moving forward, I don't want players to feel that individual responsibility of I've made a mistake, or I could have done better, because if you're having a bad day, then you've got 10 mates there to help you out. And I think that's just where we need to learn and grow as a group, and really have that team first mentality, because I think we've seen, you know, the past three seasons we've made semi-finals, and a lot of people haven't predicted us to do that, and that's been on the back of everyone being together, working hard for each other and having the same goal, and that's team success.
Some of the things that I've loved this season and towards the back end too, to see Hiroshi get into double figures. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's the first player since Sergio van Dijk to score that many goals in a season, which is outstanding. Also to see the work of Isaias, who's come back to the Issa that we know, but his work with Ethan Alagic, and Ethan Alagic has had a brilliant second half of the season. We've seen Giuseppe Bovolina. We've seen Panna, like these players, whether they're experienced players or younger players, I think these kind of stories should be celebrated too. And I've loved watching that, because I can see our, I don't want to say old, because Issa will get upset if I call him old, but he's been great. but the younger kids are showing that they deserve their spot and they're performing consistently when they need to.
Certainly, and I think all those players are great examples of going out and putting the team first and putting their body on the line every week. And like you said, Nathan Aligich doesn't get the credit that some other players get, but if you watch his performances over the last couple of months, they've been first class, and he's thoroughly deserved every opportunity he's received. In the first half of the season, he was training well, he was working hard, and he didn't complain, he kept his head down, and now he's getting his reward. And for me to see, that's what I want from all our young players, that mentality, and I'm really happy he's getting his what he deserves. And Yabov has been another great example, works extremely hard and puts his head down and lets his performances do the talking. And Ace is such an important player for our group, especially me as an inexperienced leader, the support that he provides me, it's almost like a mentor, and I think he plays that role for a number of players in our team, and his performances have also been first class. And then you talk of Hiroshi Ibusuki, wonderful mentality, wonderful player, and wonderful person, and leads the line, does his job, what he needs every week, and he's getting his reward with goals as well. So you're right, they're all, I guess, silver linings on what's been a difficult year, but it shows that when you do put the team first, then you will get that reward.
I reckon you were a bit disrespectful to yourself before because you called yourself an inexperienced leader, and I don't think anybody is experienced unless they've been doing it for long enough. So I know what you were trying to say, but I want to lead into asking you about leadership. If you're comfortable, I want to know what you're proud of this year when it comes to your leadership and where you have room to grow and what you've learned essentially about leadership.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is to make sure I'm doing what's required of me, because otherwise my voice doesn't have an impact. And I think I've learned this year to control what I can control, to manage certain situations and to let things go and maybe not let things get to me, because sometimes I always want to do what's right. But unfortunately, that doesn't always happen in the world. So,
has that been hard for you? Because I think sometimes, like, some people naturally have loud voices and some people naturally want to scream and people listen, but it's just because you speak loud, it doesn't mean people are going to hear what you have to say. So have you found like you almost have to reestablish relationships with people so they know that you're not just Ryan speaking to them now, this is the captain and you've earned the right to do that and they need to respect that, but you also need to allow them to grow?
Yeah, of course, that's the challenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just want to get the best out of everyone, and everyone responds differently to different levels of feedback, criticism, all those sorts of things. Someone, a bollocking will work, other people, it won't. You need to put an arm around the shoulder. So, yeah, I'll continue to learn and grow in that space, and more importantly, I'll continue to be true to who I am as a person and try and bring people with me.
I love that, and I think you're doing an outstanding job, mate, because I think it'd be really challenging to be in the role that you are, but you're really open to growing as well, and sometimes I feel like you almost become like a sacrificial lamb where you are so worried about everybody else doing the right thing, you almost sacrifice your own kind of position as well, which would be really challenging, but I appreciate your openness and honesty. I do have a couple of questions to wrap up. And first of all, it's a football nerd question. So the other week when we were playing against MacArthur and it was Nesta's last game of the season, he looked like he was wearing red and white socks because his Adelaide United socks were cut halfway and then we had the grip socks or whatever. What's the deal with that? Why are players cutting their socks? Some players cut holes in the back of their socks. Why can't they just wear a pair of socks? It's not just Nesta, it's lots of people. And why can't we just wear grip socks? Explain the whole look and why to me.
I'll never understand the look and from a fashion point of view. I'm not the right man to ask that question. But I, on game day, wear what's comfortable and what I feel best in to perform. So obviously during the week, we're wearing those grip socks at training.
Okay, so the actual football socks don't grip, is that right, in your boot?
Yeah, they tend to slip around a little bit more, especially when it gets hot and sweaty, and the grip socks just sort of keep everything where you want it. And for me, that's what I'm training in, that's what I want to play in.
So why can't the A-Leagues or UCAN make grip socks that are red? So our actual football socks are grip socks, but longer ones. Is that a thing?
We could have a business opportunity.
I just think it's strange when I see like players cutting their socks up and stuff. But I just don't know why that happens the way it is.
It's a good point.
The other question. Now, last time I spoke to you, it was around Mother's Day, and you sent me off to a beautiful little place for lunch and to have some wine down McLaren Vale Way. I need another recommendation from you because you got a 100% strike rate with this, and I know that you are a wine consumer responsibly. So, where else am I going to have a feed down your way or a nice glass of wine? I like Pizza Teca. That's a good kind of area. I love Alpha Box and Dice. Wirra Wirra. It's okay. Where else can I go around the area?
Well, good friends of mine, and they've been good to the team this year as well. We've done a couple of little events down there. It's Oxenberry Farm.
Now tell me about this.
So, owned by the Scarpantoni family, who's a prominent family within the McLaren Vale region. They've got their own little boutique place there in Oxenberry, and good food and good wine. So, at the moment, they've just gone through the crushing and pressing process. So, they'll be bottling the rosé soon, and they've still got some back vintages, obviously, that are, very enjoyable at the right times, as we say.
Lovely. Okay. And finally, we know that you named your child after George Blackwood, who's just scoring goals for fun over playing in Malta. 12 months on now, how wonderful is the perspective that even though football might not be going the way that you want it at the moment, you almost get to press pause on that and focus on being a dad and a husband?
Yeah, that's the most important thing to me, and I love every minute of it. He grows so quickly. Even we go away on away trips for 2-3 days, and I come home and there's a different expression or a different sound or something different he's doing. And I think even talking about it, I just start smiling because I think that's what we live for. We love those. I love those moments. I've loved every minute of being a dad. Of course, there's been different challenges as well along the way, but like I said, these challenges help us to grow, and I feel forever grateful that I've got the chance to be a dad and just love every moment.
Well, mate, I'm so glad you're our captain. I think you are such a wonderful human being. Your football speaks for itself, but the ability to front up when times are tough, I think, is a sign of a true leader. So I don't want to hear you ever playing down your leadership experience because, mate, I think you're outstanding, and the future's bright for you, your leadership in Adelaide United. 2 games to go at a minimum. It's the A-League and random stuff happens. Ryan Kiddo, thanks for joining us on the pitch.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate your work.